at last Sunday's congregational meeting to vote on our reconstruction project for this our home, Scott Denman eloquently spoke of an internal transformation, which he understood as a metaphor. Now, although he declined to give this morning's sermon, he did write back to me and elaborated a little on what he meant. He said, "The movement or process or experience that we go through as individual UUCB members and as the congregation as a whole has the potential to be a spiritual, internal transformational process. So for me, the spiritual transformation within is potentially a threefer. One, church as a change of agents and concepts. Two, the literal building reconstruction. And three, our individual and collective spiritual processes as congregants as we go through this experience." So what does our vote of last Sunday really mean? Scott's insight and metaphor suggests that as we recreate our building, we consider our work in doing so to be something deeply spiritual, so much so that it is actually transformational. You might recall the story I once told about the building of Chartres Cathedral. The story goes that a traveler from Italy came to the French town of Chartres to see the great church that was being built there. Arriving at the end of the day, he went to the site just as the workmen were leaving for home. He asked one man, covered with dust, what he did there. The man replied that he was a stonemason. He spent his days carving rocks. Another man, when asked, said he was a glass blower who spent his day making slabs of colored glass. Still another workman replied that he was a blacksmith who pounded iron for a living. Wandering into the deepening gloom of the unfinished edifice, the traveler came upon an older woman armed with a broom, sweeping up the stone chips and the wood shavings and glass shards from the day's work. "What are you doing?" he asked. The woman paused, leaning on her broom, and looking up toward the high archers, replied, "Me? I'm building a cathedral for the glory of Almighty God." She looked beyond the roof. In our building project, if it is to have any transformational or spiritual meaning at all, then it must be seen as something larger than ourselves. Metaphorically speaking, there must be a magnificent vision from the top. So, as we spend many hours on details and costs and who makes the decisions and where the kitchen will be and what color paint we'll use in each space and how wide the hallway will be and whether or not we have a shower, we always need to see the larger picture. We are doing this to foster our ministry, both for our children and for the larger community. So I see in our vote last week the creation of a covenant among ourselves. And here are three aspects to that covenant. One, we promise to stick together. It's not easy to maintain community when the community itself is nomadic. We know we will have to leave this building for at least 6 months, starting in the middle of the summer. This is not to be an excuse to have an extended vacation and stay away from worship and church activities. In fact, more than ever, we need to find ways to stay in community and fellowship so that our energy and spirit abounds. We will be creating a team called the Wanderers to find space for us during the period of time that we will be building. And we will have a chance to have congregational conversations to discuss how we maintain our being together. The opportunity here is actually to realize that our congregation is, in spite of our building a new space, not about a building, nor does holy work have anything to do with an edifice complex. Rather, it has everything to do with community. In restoring our building, we are transforming it and ourselves. Our task is to become a holy congregation. Second, we promise to renovate our building for the purpose of engaging in ever more deeper ministry. Our calling as a congregation is to serve, not to save. And it is not just ourselves that we serve. One of our priorities must always be our children, their spirit, and their well-being. A related priority is that we must always be present to help heal the world. Our new walls can never be an excuse to stay inside. We must always look outward towards a world that is hurting and is in pain. UU minister Tom Owen Towle says that, quote, "We are summoned to share equally in loving in reach and outreach. Authentic compassion is indivisible. Social justice and individual caregivers are as Siamese twins. When you tear them asunder, both of them wither and die." Now, this is one of Reverend Dick Snyder's main theological principles, that the internal work and the external work must go hand in hand. The walls we build here cannot be symptomatic of something isolationist. On the contrary, the only justification for the work and money we are about to put into this construction is to create a space that better suits our ministry in the world. As Marty said, we had a great time Friday nights, and the exercise will happen this afternoon as well. When a number of us went over the sketches of the new construction and talked about details, it's this kind of excitement that will keep us together as we move forward. This enthusiasm must have its foundation, however, in knowing that there's a greater mission. There are those in this congregation who keep asking, and rightly so, how will our new space help us in manifesting our mission in the world? What is our larger vision? Here is a powerful statement by Lynn Eldred about our prophetic mission as UUs. Quote, "I have my own metaphor for social change work. We all have a pocket full of puzzle pieces, representing the skills and experiences we contribute to the common good. Now, I can pocket my pieces, hoarding them, or play them. If I do a cost-benefit analysis of working for social justice, I might never play these pieces, because it takes a leap of faith to step up to the table of history and say, I'm willing to commit myself to making changes. There are no guarantees, she says, and we can't see the cover of this box to know where to place the pieces or see how the pattern will come out. To play these pieces means to play with faith, knowing that we may never even see the frame constructed in our lifetime. Perhaps some of the puzzles I will work on will never be completed, but I need to play my pieces anyway. The beauty of our church is that there are so many tables on which to play your pieces. The environment, peace, the homeless, social justice causes worldwide, anti-racist work, gay and lesbian issues, reproductive rights, and more. It is a powerful statement that this work springs from our community, because my pieces mean nothing unless they're connected in synergy with others. Because there is a forging of powerful bonds when a group of individuals pool their pieces and find that together they have constructed a portion of the sky or a section of the field. We all have pieces to contribute. We can pocket our pieces or risk failure in hopes of contributing towards changing history. My life has been immensely enriched when I have taken that risk. In spite of a tendency on our part to be a bit self-critical when it comes to our participation in social justice work, we do have a very active peace and justice team, Green Sanctuary team, LGBTQ group, and youth service program. Can we do more? Absolutely. And our building project confronts and challenges us, indeed, how will our new space which itself is an act of faith, foster our mission, our ministry, and our vision. I mentioned our children as a priority when thinking of our new space. I didn't mean just our children here at church, though they are always, to me, one of the great joys that gives meaning to this church community. I meant all children in this world, because when we think of all children and what their future will be like, then social justice work is a categorical and ethical imperative, not a debate. 3. We promise to think and act with abundance and hope, not with scarcity. In the book Serving with Grace by Eric Wickstrom, a book that our church council is reading and discussing together, Wickstrom notes that the anti-racism and multicultural work of the UU Association has made it clear that there are certain white cultural norms in our culture and institutions. Among these is, quote, a tendency toward individualism, as opposed to collaboration and cooperation, an inward focus, as opposed to an outward focus on relationships of accountability, and a bias toward efficiency, as opposed to effectiveness and relationships. Two more of the white cultural norms that have been identified are either-or thinking, as opposed to both-and thinking, and operating out of a scarcity mentality, as opposed to an abundant worldview. This is a church that has made bold and courageous choices in its 22 years of existence, including the choice last week to raise the money for our new building project. But there are areas in which scarcity seems to prevail, such as our regular annual budget. And that might be even more problematic this year if people think it's okay to reduce their pledging in order to give money to the capital campaign. Now, I realize that a new building may be far more appealing than pledging money towards our budget. But the reality is that each year our annual budget needs to increase in order to offset increasing costs. I am convinced, however, that we can do both. We can have a successful annual budget drive and a successful capital campaign. Prosperity, then, and not scarcity, must always be the cultural norm and always and on all levels. So our building project has given us the unique opportunity of challenging us in such a way that it can be transformational. So let us not see this as a superficial enterprise, but as a way to make us and our world more whole. Let us see our work as being self-transcendent, as a way to better serve. Let us lift ourselves up, literally and metaphorically. And let us have a wonderfully magnificent vision, maybe symbolically a vision of a cathedral that inspires life, justice, love, compassion, and beauty. Let us be grateful and gracious in light of what we are and what we can become. May it be so, and amen.